Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. But I think you are getting it, and I think you just said it. Stop trying to prove yourself. You don't have to prove yourself. Don't be the expert. Be the person who interviews the expert, just like what I do. Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Here's a consult with a lady named Vivian. It's titled, How Not to Position Yourself as the Expert and Make More Money Than the Experts Do. She's one of my audio marketing students, and Vivian has been trying hard to position herself as an expert in her field. She knows a lot about the health industry and has put together a health-related newsletter and has even started writing two books. She's hoping to make about $2,000 a week selling information products. So in this half-hour interview, you'll hear my consultation with Vivian where I let her in on a little secret. Sometimes it's actually better to not be the expert. If you position yourself as a non-expert, just an average person who happens to be really interested in a specific topic and wants to learn more, you can make more money than the experts do, especially when it comes to audio information products. As a non-expert, you'll be able to interview a bunch of different experts, package those audios together, and make your living off of their expertise. And that's a lot easier than actually being an expert yourself. And in this consultation, you'll hear exactly how to do it. You'll also learn why you'll want to pick one specific area to focus on and ideas for narrowing your search. You'll learn strategies for marketing your product that will keep you in the minds of your customers. You'll learn how to get big-name experts to agree to interviews, ways to package your interviews and promote yourself as a non-expert. You'll learn ideas for getting commission by directing listeners to your expert's websites and make even more money off your interviews. Like many fields, the health industry is a tough place to establish credibility. If you're not a doctor, people are going to be very skeptical about what you have to tell them. Fortunately, though, you won't need to worry about that. The best part of being a non-expert is the more experts you interview, the more you're going to be perceived as an expert yourself. And it won't take long for that to happen. So stop wasting your time trying to prove yourself, trying to prove your reputation when there's a lot more money to be made as a non-expert. And in this audio, you'll hear all about it. Now let's get going.
Hello.
Hey, Vivian. It's Michael Senoff.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
It's good.
I got your letter. Wow. I mean, I really appreciate you taking so much time. I know that took you a long time to write unless you're a super fast typer. All right, well, we don't have a ton of time. I can understand you got a lot of ideas. They're pouring in your head. And this can be really debilitating. This can be the thing that keeps people from focusing in on one thing and producing results. And it sounds like you're in that category. First of all, there's only so much time, and you cannot do them all. And you have got to draw a line in the sand and decide that this is what I want to do. This is the project I'm going to work on now. These are the steps I need to take to accomplish what I want.
What am I going to be? Who am I? What is my product? Do I break it down to a small niche and build it up? How am I doing this?
First of all, I know you really love this stuff, and you love teaching, and you love creating and stuff, but are you in a situation where you've got to still make some money from this?
Right.
Okay, so you've got to make some money. What would you ideally and realistically like to bring in from your online business, whatever you're selling, whether it's an information product or a service or whatever? Do you have to make a certain amount? I mean, you have to make $500 a week, $1,000 a month, $2,000 a month?
It's $2,000 a week.
You got to make $2,000 a week?
Yeah.
All right, so you're going to make $2,000 a week. So let's say that that's your goal right there. So you need to sell something, and let's say 5 days a week, you need to sell $400 worth of something every day, right? If you're going to work 5 days. Okay, so you got to make $400 every day selling something. Now, we got to figure out, what are we going to sell to do that? What ideas do you have of a product you'd like to create that we could sell? Any ideas of what you want to sell or what topic it's going to be on? Or are you open to anything?
I'm open to anything. And I want to tell you why. Because I know once the money comes in, just one piece of money, that feeling is created where you know you just move on. Once you get that first sale, that's when you get that motivation and inspiration to move on. I'm working on putting all these things together, but there isn't any money coming in. And I know how that works once the money comes in.
What are you working on now? What do you have put together?
Well, I'm in conversation with Kroger still because I know ways that they can move their organic produce.
Well, you told me about that.
I see marketing mistakes every single day, especially even in the checkout line. I never get charged organic prices ever. And I've saved all those coupons and those kind of things.
The supermarkets are undercharging you?
Oh, yeah. The cashiers just...
They don't know that it's organic.
Even though there's purple tags on it and purple rubber bands, they're not paying attention.
I see. So the supermarkets are losing big money.
Yeah, they are. And because it don't have preservatives, they need to move it within a week. And they leave it laying there all rotted and swiveled up. And I know ways to move that, too, because just some recipe cards and some little information telling people what they can do with these vegetables. Most people only know what to do with an apple, banana, and an orange or something, you know.
Okay, gotcha. What else have you been working on?
I actually, last week, created a small newsletter for my family and friends, and I did that because I realized that I should be sharing this information with my family because Memorial Day weekend I saw, and they just didn't know a lot of things, so I started that just on the side. Where I was going with that is maybe 4 weeks and see how they liked it, and then I thought maybe I could grow that, but I don't know if there's money there.
You know, your expertise on these topics on health and nutrition and the chemicals and all this stuff, didn't you mention in your email that you're writing a book?
Yeah.
Is that all about that stuff?
Yeah, I have 2 books started, and yes, one of them is about that. That's one thing I wanted to ask you about. Do people really want to know all this chemical stuff and that the FDA is not watching out for them and their FDA is really their enemy? Do they really want to know that stuff? Because I want them to know it.
Absolutely. There are a lot of people who want to know about this stuff. Yeah, like when you were telling me about how dangerous the microwave oven, you know, we use our microwave all the time. Some of the stuff I knew, how when you're microwaving vegetables, you're killing all the content, but what does it actually do to the food?
It actually destroys the food, and it actually creates this kind of carnage. What it creates is unknown to the human.
It creates something in the food?
Right. First of all, synthetics do not belong in your body.
Now, I can understand when you're microwaving with plastics and stuff like that in the microwave. That is not good.
Let me ask you a question. When you were growing up, and to your children, do you tell them, get away from the microwave, don't be looking at it, that it's going to get in your eyes?
Yeah, sometimes.
Think about it, that whatever you just told them to do, that goes into your food, and you eat it anyway.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Do you drink bottled water?
I have a filter in the home.
Do you have a filter on your shower?
No.
Okay. Your skin is the largest organ of your body, which covers 70%. So that 10-minute shower in the morning is more than 10 glasses of your tap water, because everything that touches your skin gets absorbed into your body. So your chlorine and your fluoride are all just slipping right in every morning.
Yeah, you see, I didn't realize that.
I have all kinds of that type of information.
See, that stuff's really good.
Okay. Did I use that?
Absolutely. See, my whole thing, how to turn a $28 book into a $3,900 information product, you want to add more value to it. So let's just say, for instance, you did a topic every month and you wrote about it, or let's say you maybe interviewed an expert about it. Do you know a true expert on the dangers of microwave ovens?
Yeah, a lot of people I hang out with.
Let's say you're selling that information. Let's say you're selling an hour-long interview about the dangers of your microwave or about filtered water, safety and hazards of chlorinated tap water, whether it's in the shower or drinking. Like, you just brought that thing up. You absolutely, totally proved to me I've been drinking filtered water, but in the shower I'm not doing anything about filtered water, so it's just like nullifying the effect, right?
Right. Nobody really thinks of those things, Michael.
Those are two things. You illustrated very quickly the about two things that I'm doing in my home, even with my kids, that I haven't really thought about. But you've got to credentialize yourself. So if you're going to sell me an hour interview all about this, hidden facts about your microwave or hidden facts about filtered chlorinated water or whatever, who is Vivian? Are you a credible expert? Okay? Now, you don't have to be the expert. And you hear me say this over and over again. But I guarantee you, you go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com and you go search these topics and you will find scientists, you will find experts on this that you can interview. Even though you know it's all true, that's fine. It would be nice coming from you, you know, ego-wise, because your position is the expert. But let's look at the leverage. I'd rather see you interview, you know, Dr. Norman, whoever, who's 50 years have been studying chemical reactions in food due to microwaves. You know, you can find expertise like that, scientists and people who have probably written reports and books. So when you describe what you're selling, this interview on the dangers of the microwave, you have that instant credibility. You're leveraging off his 50 years of research on microwaves and all this research, and he's got a book out, and you've secured an exclusive interview with him, okay? Now you've got something real valuable that you can sell, and it's not Vivian saying, I know all this stuff about the microwave, and you should buy it from me, because anyone listening to that, they're going to say, oh yeah, sure, she just wants to sell something. But if you say, I know some of this stuff, and it interests me, but I sought out and found the foremost experts on the dangers of the microwave and on this research, and here's why he's an expert, and you leverage off his whole lifetime of research on this subject, then you've absolutely proven that you've got something real valuable to sell, that hour-long interview that you've done with this guy. You see what I'm saying? Different positioning, and you've got something that definitely can be sold. And let's say you did a series of these audio interviews on topics that are dear to your heart or that you're concerned about. Really interesting stuff. And you can create wonderful interviews, and before you know it, if you have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of them, that stuff can be sold. It can be sold as a monthly audio newsletter, just like you see on my site. Once I do these interviews, they're transcribed, and you have the written transcripts. Soon, they can be packaged into a book. You know, after you have 10 or 12, you can package all the transcripts into a book, and then you have a book, and you have the audio CDs that could be sold. And you've heard in some of the recordings, there's all kinds of things you can do. My expertise with this Audio Marketing Secrets is interviewing experts and then selling that information and getting the rights to the information, not that it's a big deal. People love doing interviews. A guy like that who's been researching for 50 years, and it's his passion, and it's been everything, and maybe he's been divorced over because that's all he was interested in. And not many people probably really take an interest, and you approach him and say, I'd love to interview you about your life's work and your research. People love that. They'd love to do that. Not everyone. You may have to contact 5, 10 people to get one or two, but all you need is one or two. There's so many experts out there on different fields, you'd never run out of people to contact for an interview. And that's easy, because all you're doing is you're finding the experts and you're asking and inviting them to do an interview. And when they say yes, that's valuable. When I get an interview with a big name like Tom Hopkins, one of the number one brands in selling, or J. Conrad Levinson, number one brand in marketing, because he's already the number one guy in the industry, just getting that interview and spending an hour and a half on the phone or an hour doing an interview with them, that was so easy, but it's so valuable because so many people know who they are, and you've heard me talk about it. Just being associated with them increases your level of expertise just by the law of association. So my whole Audio Marketing Secrets product really is all based on interviewing experts, getting those things edited right and produced right and recorded, and then you've got valuable intellectual property that no one else has. And now you've got something tangible you can sell. And because it's in an audio interview format, it's more valuable than just a book or a paper newsletter. It appears more valuable because it's in audio. You make it more convenient for the listener. They can listen to it. They can read it. They can download it. You can put it on a CD. You can create a CD package with all 10 of them and do some nice packaging, which is very inexpensive. And it's all about packaging, but it all starts with that interview. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I have several topics like that.
What are some other topics? Get the microwave.
I have hundreds of things like this.
Well, you can't do them all. You've got to pick out the top 10.
That's what I was getting ready to ask you. Do you think working on three?
You know, you can make a living off just one, believe it or not. And, you know, just one topic can do it. I mean, every home in the country, at least here in the U.S., just about has a microwave. And we're using it on a daily basis. I mean, if I told you how many times in the morning, you know, getting the kids ready for school, I use that microwave, you know, if they're having frozen waffles or whatever, I'll defrost them. I heat my milk up in there before I have tea. I'll do it again for coffee. You know, people are using that microwave 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. I remember when the kids were young. I mean, yeah, we heated the baby milk up in the plastic baby bottles.
That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Hey, if you targeted just mothers, I mean, new mothers, you could get the mailing list of new mothers who are just getting ready to have babies. And that market is huge. You know, you can get a mailing list of every single new mother getting ready to have a baby. You can get them even before they have a baby. And you can mail to them. When my first son was born, we started a play group in the neighborhood, and I found the mailing list, and I got a mailing list of all the new mothers who had a baby around the same age as my kid in our geographical zip code, and I mailed out a letter with a picture of my kid, and, you know, I had it coming from my wife, and we put together a play group. We had the phone ringing off the hook with new mothers who wanted to have a play group. But you could contact all new mothers. There's mailing lists, maternity lists. You could target them in areas. For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. And I could see a newsletter, an audio newsletter, or a website for new mothers. You can target a segment. It could be as targeted as mothers who use the microwave. You could be the microwave lady. And provide, educate, you can become the expert on microwaves and the results it has on food and pick one thing. So when you pick one thing and you stick with one thing, you're easy to remember. Rather than being the lady who educates on microwaves and water and shampoo and stuff like that, when you just pick one thing, you are the expert on that one thing. You don't know anything else. Don't ask me about shampoo. Don't ask me about lotions. All I know is microwaves. And I know how bad they are for you. And here are some solutions on how to use your microwave safely. You know, you can make money selling the information, but you want to also look beyond that.
I did find a little turbo oven that can be used.
There you go. I was just going to say, hey, how could you make money? Maybe there's a special microwave that works or heats your food just as fast but doesn't give you the harmful effects.
It's not just as fast. It's faster than the oven.
Really? What is it?
It's called a turbo oven.
Is it expensive?
I think it was $2-something.
Do you mount it, or does it sit on the counter, or what?
I don't know. I know where to find it at, but...
Turbo oven?
Yeah, something like that. I can look it up.
Look it up. See, I'm interested in the stuff you're telling me, too.
I know, and I do that everywhere I go. When the guys told me that I needed a subscription site, that did not feel right.
A subscription site?
With this information.
Oh, a membership site.
Right, because how are you going to pay for something that you don't know? You know what I mean? It's like you're joined a group of people that microwave, you know, with tons of information. They could never feel the work all the time. They have to always be researching, trying to find more new information to put in there.
See, you could do interviews on microwaves, multiple interviews, and become that expert, but your real business is in selling ovens. You don't have to touch them. If you've got a turbo oven or if you've got an oven that really solves all these problems and you educate the people of the dangers and the problems of the microwave, then you've got to give them a solution.
I agree with you.
That's an idea, too. So what other topics are you really passionate about, you know, like what we've been talking about?
Probably one of my major things is artificial sugars.
Yeah, that's big. You know what I put in my tea and my coffee, the Splenda?
Well, they're very dangerous. They're actually toxic once they enter your body.
Really?
Yeah.
But what about all the people say that's nonsense, it's been tested, blah, 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 you know?
No, it's not been tested.
It isn't?
Not really, no. And I have all that documentation, too. I have how dangerous it is and how it's making everybody sick.
Well, what's it doing to people? Is there proof on this?
Yeah, there's lots of it. The FDA really isn't watching anybody. You see, sugar is a commodity. The government actually pays farmers to grow sugar. And refined sugar is a synthetic. Believe it or not, those 5-pound bags that you pick up are synthetic. They are not real food. and they say Splenda and stuff has a piece of sugar. Well, it's really not, because once they process it and melt it down to this heat, this is when all these chemicals and toxins are released. And when they go into your body, believe me, they do the same thing, because the pinks and the yellows, none of those are sugar. Not even the 5-pound bags, they are not sugar. They are all synthetic. They all have chemical reactions once they reach your body.
All right, so tell me a good solution, honey.
No, well, it depends who you are and where you live, but raw sugar.
Raw sugar is good.
Of course, organic. And then you also can go with, it's called blue algae. It's like a liquid, but it tastes like...
It tastes bad?
Because they don't give the blood sugar. You know how when you eat sugar, you get this high, and an hour later, you're ready to go to bed? These sugars that I'm talking about don't do this. Mm-hmm. They actually keep your blood sugar level the same. So you would go with your organic raw sugar or your organic blue algae.
Organic raw sugar doesn't increase your insulin stuff?
No, and it's real. It's real food. Raw sugar is real food. Those 5-pound bags in the store are not. And then you can also go with grade B, I think, maple brown syrup. And that actually has nutrients in it that's good for you.
See, that's a big thing, too.
Because you know why everybody has cancer? Do you wonder where all this came from in the last 10 years? Sugar.
From the sugar or from the Splenda and Nutris?
The Splenda does a lot of, yeah, that does it, too. But first of all, you have these little happy cells just all going around and all happy. Well, sugar is not a food. So once the sugar hits, your little cells just start moving slower and slower, and they get real sickly, and they, like, stick all together, and then because the sugar actually increases the cancer in the cells. So the food industry knows that sugar is addicting. See, this is the number one thing. People think of cigarettes and alcohol and, you know, even their marijuana and stuff, but sugar is very addicting, and all the food companies know that, so they put that in all their food. Even companies like McDonald's French fries are coated in the sugar because they know you will keep coming back for more. Because the sugar's addicting, you're always looking for sugar foods. And it's not the real sugar, they're putting their synthetic sugar in. When I grew up, people used to say, when I was a child, I remember they'd say, yeah, look at that beer belly. And you would automatically know that was the man down the street that drank beer all the time, right? Well, the reason why you have a beer belly is because of that sugar, that not real sugar, that synthetic sugar. And because sugar in those 5-pound bags isn't real, there's no way for your body to digest it, so it just lays in your gut. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger because your body don't know what to do with it. It's not real.
That's a big thing, too.
Did you read the part? I did that on purpose, of course. The little chemical company who discovered how to manipulate your taste buds.
Oh, yeah. I read that.
Is that not sickening?
That is sick.
Macaroni and cheese is what all parents fix for their children. And they always buy Kraft because the TV tells us to. That is sick. I really think people need to know this stuff. You're like me. Like, how do you do this?
No, you can do it. But what I would do to make it easier on you, I wouldn't position yourself as the expert. I'd find the expert on these topics and interview them. You want to get it to them, and do you want the best chance of getting it to them? Are they going to listen to you because you're telling them about all this stuff? Because a lot of people hear this. I totally believe it. I'm one of those people who believe this stuff. But there's a lot of people who think there's crackpots out there and conspiracy theory and stuff like that. There's a lot of people who poo-poo it. So what are your chances? Are you going to have a better chance you preaching this stuff because you want people to know it? Or are you delivering the information and having your best chance of having that listened to by interviewing the foremost expert on the subject?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Now that you've got all this going in my head, would it just be better if I just be an interview person? And
yes.
This way I don't have to stick with a microwave. This way I can deliver all this information that I really want people to know. I have to have that one niche. I can do it all.
That's right. Well, look at my site. I'm just the guy who does the interview. Now, the Audio Marketing Secrets is one product that I position myself as the expert in. But my marketing consulting, I'm not positioning myself as the expert. Richard's the expert. My business buying system, I'm not the expert. Art Hamill's the expert. The Audio Marketing Secrets is the only one I'm positioning myself as the expert.
I think you've just figured out a way for me to get all this information without spending all this time trying to prove my reputation.
Yes, stop proving your reputation.
But that was create a website, write a book, because you have to do all these things if you
want. No, bypass all that. There's people who've spent their whole life doing this.
Oh, this is good. And because there's more things I want to address, too, I tell you, I have hundreds of things that's really, really good for people.
Well, give me another idea.
Are you familiar with things like acid and alkaline foods? and how they actually work?
Yeah, I've heard stuff like that, how your body's in a normal, like, base state.
Right. Well, here's the little thing. Every time I tell this story, this moves people to understand a little bit more why I eat the way I do. And don't get me wrong, I like a glass of wine, and I love pizza, too. I only do it occasionally. First of all, sickness and disease cannot live in a healthy body. You cannot be sick if you have a healthy body. It's impossible. So, therefore, the more you keep your alkaline up, when your body gets acid, that's when sickness and disease comes in. Your acid foods are all the things. You know, your intuition tells you that you should not be eating all these things, these processed foods, these pizzas, and everything else people eat throughout the day. So what actually happens is when you eat these, and I always use pizza because I can testify to that. When I eat pizza, and I won't stop at one, which I'm getting better at that, because literally you've just shot your alkaline level down, your sugar level drops, and you're tired. What actually happens then, when you have that tired feeling, you want to go to sleep, go to bed, you don't do anything, your thoughts, you have the lower energy, therefore you don't have any good thoughts. And it works just vice versa, because if you eat a lot of high alkaline foods, and I do juice, and I juice with a lot of greens, but when you have your alkaline level up, you have lots of energy, therefore your thoughts and your feelings are all in a happy mood.
Yeah, you know, I remember listening to an interview, a guy, I remember his story, he was depressed for a long time. I forgot the guy's name, I can find it, and he sells information on how to go raw food diet. But he talked about how nothing could help his depression. And then when he just started eating fruits, it started eliminating his depression. And he's the raw food guy. I can find him. He's on my mailing list.
We have a meetup group in Cincinnati. We have a raw foods group. We have another nutrition group that actually shows people how to read the labels.
Well, this is all great stuff. And there are huge markets for this type of information. But I think you are getting it. And I think you just said it. Stop trying to prove yourself. You don't have to prove yourself. Don't be the expert. Be the person who interviews the expert, just like what I do.
No, it'll be twofold. That way I will be able to get the information.
You'll be able to get the information because you have a good understanding. So you're controlling the interview. So you know the right questions to ask. So when you do the interview, you're going to be able to produce a good interview because you have a lot of knowledge on these subjects. And you want to make sure that you can dig into that interview and really grill this guy based on what you know. And you may even have additional questions. You can give him a challenging interview because you're knowledgeable about the subject. And you want to do more research before the interview. It's the information people want. And if they can get it from a renowned expert on a subject, they're willing to pay. So I'd first focus on getting some product, which is going to be your audio interviews. And once you have the interview down, then you can get it transcribed. That's going to be important and valuable to get it into transcript form. So there's people who you give them the ability to read it.
The interview person, what do I offer him?
Let me ask you this. When you see someone go on Oprah, what's in it for that interview person? When Oprah interviews Tom Cruise, he's got a new movie coming out, he's got a book. They don't go on to Oprah for nothing. So you explain to him in your marketing efforts, you're going to expose his expertise and his book and his stuff to people who ordinarily don't know about it. But if he's got a book on Amazon, he's saying, hey, I want people to know about me, right? Anyone marketing understands the interview. It's promotion. He knows if he's selling books. His interview with you is a chance to sell more of his expertise and his consulting services and what have you. And, you know, if you can really establish and forge some good relationships with these people, and if you're able to get this interview out to a lot of people, you can negotiate commissions. If he's got something good to sell, you can make a deal with him. Say, hey, you know, for anyone I bring to you through my interview, would you be willing to pay me a piece of the action? That's if it happens. But I wouldn't focus on that yet. I'd focus on just let's get a good interview that you can sell. So it takes the pressure off of you trying to establish yourself as the expert, and you borrow a person's lifetime of expertise and credibility, and that's what's going to sell it. You're just the presenter. Just like Oprah when she brings these experts on. Oprah, she's not an expert at anything except interviewing. She brings the experts on. She brings Dr. Phil, the relationship expert. She brings Dr. Oz, America's doctor. She brings the divorce guy. You know what I mean? She's just bringing the expert. She's finding the best she can. She's doing pretty well for herself, huh?
Indeed.
So you don't have to be the expert. And I think that's a good shift for you. That takes pressure off you. Is that a big shift in your thinking?
Yes, I don't have to go try to get all my paperwork together.
Yeah, forget that.
Sometimes I just know things, and I purposely don't try to memorize what. Like, I read it, and it's like, oh, I can't believe that. I'm not going to do that no more. And even with the microwave, I have to look all that stuff up all the time. But I just know that I don't use it anymore. I have to go back and look at it.
And you love learning this stuff, so the interviews are going to be a pleasure. They're going to be interesting for you,
yeah,
too.
It just comes to me. Thank you very much. You have a wonderful day.
All right, you too. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. That's the end of my interview with Vivian. I hope you've learned a lot, and I hope it makes sense to you to try and position yourself as a non-expert. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.